Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And all you're getting, get wisdom. And we're going to get a little bit here from TD Jakes because he was just interviewed and he was able to share a little bit about his life. He's accomplished a couple of things.
Just
a couple of things. And he shares what he would have told a younger TD Jakes. What would he share with him? And I think that's so important because, you know, I often say you can borrow the experience or you can buy the experience.
Wisdom.
Yeah. Borrowing is so much cheaper. And when I'm sharing with others, I say, you know, there's some experiences you're just going to have to buy for yourself. You know, you can't be helped with that. However, there's some things that you can actually borrow and you can learn. And wisdom is a proper application of knowledge. We need wisdom in these days. So many people, Steve, are trying to get information. And it's not about information. Yeah. It's about revelation. You know, it's about walking in wisdom. It's about applying the things that we've learned and how to walk through life honoring God and glorifying Him. That's what life is all about. It's not about what we can do for ourselves, but how can I bring God glory? And we want to employ all the things that we've learned and all the things that others have learned so that we can make the most out of this thing called life. Because, you know, we're only going to pass through this earth just once. And so you want to do all that you can do and the time that you have to do it in a way that you can smile at the Lord, you know, you can say, and so that you can hear, you know, those wonderful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." See, the first thing he talks about, he says, wow, finding purpose. What would he tell you? If he could rewind 33 years, he knows precisely what he would say to a younger T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes is a pastor of Potter's House Church in Dallas, Texas. He's authored I don't know how many books, and he's done so many conferences and just a really well-respected, you know, minister. And he's movie produced, television. He's just done a lot of things. And but one of the things he would look back and say is that he says, finding purpose, let your purpose guide you. And I think that's important.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you look at it, it's just like a lot of people have dedicated their entire lives to make an impact just by living in what is valuable in this life. But when you realize when you're talking about, I want to do something for God, when you begin to really seek after the heart of God and you're like, what can I do to impact the kingdom of God? When you understand you're getting that eternal focus, I want to live for eternity, then you realize the fact that this life is for the purpose of God. And that totally transforms everything that you do because it's no longer about yourself, but about God.
Right. And when you're finding out what your purpose is, because the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you breathe, the way you look, the way you act, all these intrinsic qualities, who your parents were, it's, you know, listen, God knew you before the foundations of the earth. You're not an accident. God has a purpose. He has an assignment for your life. I mean, Jeremiah 29:11, you know, for I know the plans God saying, I have for you, plans to prosper you. Plans to not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. And so God has this thing figured out, and you can save a bunch of energy, resources, and time, which is valuable. The older you get, the more valuable time becomes to you. But you can avoid all that by really seeking out the heart of God and saying, God, why am I here? What is my purpose? And one of the ways of discovering that, you'll start realizing there are certain things in your life that come very natural to you. You say they're very easy. They're not easy to others, but maybe you're naturally gifted in the arts. Maybe you're naturally gifted in technology. You're naturally gifted fixing things. Maybe you're naturally gifted in communication or in writing or in expression. And it's almost like second nature. Well, those are natural type gifts, and, mm-hmm. and maybe you're supposed to fuel those things. I've met so many people, Steve, throughout life that they were steered one way because that's what people wanted them to do, but they had a natural talent, or they had an anointing to do something that was completely the opposite. And they were miserable. And I think that that's a really important thing. Find out what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a Rick Joyner who said that it was a huge majority of the church still doesn't know, when surveyed, what is their calling? Mm-hmm. What is their gifts? And you don't have forever to find out. This is something that should require prayer and seeking out. But that's talking about fulfillment. Fulfillment is when you know that you're in the zone, when you know like the sky's blue and you know the grass is green. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, and I'm doing it the way He wants me to do it. Man, that's joy. That's fulfillment. That's purpose. And find it, because that's where you're going to be most fruitful, and that's probably where you're going to bring God the most glory.
Yeah, and I even think about it. It's just like there's to me, it's like that intrinsic value of knowing the fact that what you're doing has value, to know that you can look back at a season or a time or just whatever it is and know that it wasn't wasted, that which you do before the eyes of the Lord, it's just like that's a treasure that brings joy to His heart. It's like there's nothing worse than looking back and being able to see, like, I regret that I made that choice. I regret that season of my life. And it's in those moments that it's just like, I can make better decisions today.
Yes.
With not having to have those regrets of what happened yesterday.
Yeah. The second thing he talks about is not letting others define you. Don't let others define you. And I think that happens a lot, because I think that people, you know, allow themselves to be put in a box. People begin to start speaking things over them, and they say, you're this, you're that, you're not that smart, mm-hmm. you're not that, you know, bright. You can't do that. And they start defining your future. And if you believe that, then you're going to be limited in life. You're going to be stuck because you heard the words of somebody else who probably was no authority in your life, who's probably just speaking things out. Maybe they meant well, maybe they mm-hmm. didn't, but you believed what they said and it defined you. You allowed that barrier to be formed around you. Now you're inside of a box saying, yeah, this is who I am. And you really start thinking about it. Well, no, that's who they said I was. And I came into agreement with what they said. And you got to say, wait a minute, but what does God say?
Yeah.
And I think so many people don't know their identity in the Lord. So many times we define ourselves by our behavior, but not by our identity. You know, you're either a sinner saved by grace, and we say those things a lot, so we just keep on sinning, right? Or we say, I am a new creation in Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And it's about God's righteousness that I'm a partaker of His divine nature. You got to start, you know, saying about yourself the things that God says about you. I love what Bill Johnson says, Steve. He says, I refuse to have a thought about myself that God doesn't have about me. And you got to start asking yourself, whose thoughts are you entertaining? We're talking about wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom from T.D. Jakes about what you can do moving forward in your own life. And we're sharing some insights mm-hmm. ourselves. But it's important to look back. So that you can begin to evaluate. And we talk about stopping and thinking, but I think we need to add a third one. Yes, you need to stop and pause. You do need to think, but I think you also need to evaluate. And when you begin to start evaluating and judging your own life, you start to ask yourself this question, are the things I'm living for, are they worth Jesus dying for? Are the things I'm living for, when it's all said and done and it's all over, would I wish I would have done them differently? Would I wish I would have, you know, gave it my all? Do I wish, you know, did I leave anything on the field? And like you were saying before, Steve, we can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by stopping, thinking, and evaluating where we're at.
And even as you say that too, it's like I think about, it's like, where does our self-worth come from? where does that perspective come from? And if we're looking at it in someone else's, what they're saying about us, it's always going to be, you know, wishy-washy. But if we look at it from the eyes of the Lord, that's a totally different perspective. And I remember, you know, this specific wisdom that somebody spoke into my life, and I continue to remember that and even share that with others, is that everything that you do, do it for the eyes of one. Because so many are caught up in trying to do something for a crowd or a person or a relationship or, you know, their parents because they want that acceptance. It's like, you've already been accepted by Jesus Christ. You've already been accepted by him, and he loves you, and the plans and thoughts that he has for you are endless. So everything that you do, no matter what it is, always do it for his eyes, regardless if you're alone, if you're in front of a crowd, or if you're in a boardroom, knowing that his eyes are on you, that's enough.
Yeah, totally. The third thing he says, that disappointment is inevitable, but a suave, I don't know what that is yet, a suave financial sense can ease the burden. But I want to talk about how disappointment is inevitable. I think sometimes we train people for success, but we don't train people for failure.
Yeah.
And the truth is that success is not as common as others would make you think that it is. We say, you got to be successful. You got to be successful. You have to learn. And we celebrate winning. And we celebrate success. But the truth is, you're going to have a whole lot more failures than successes. And instead of training people to you know, maybe be successful, we need to help people to fail properly. And when you fail, you need to, you know, fall. You need to fall forward, not fall backwards. Every time you make a mistake, you need to learn from that mistake, right, and understand that, you know, a disappointment, a failure is not the end of life. It's not the end of you know, you forever. No, this was a bad moment. This was a bad decision. This was a choice, which I'm a big believer of the power of choice. You know, we live in a society today that everyone's blaming somebody for where they're at. And like what Greg says, blame stands for, but look at my excuse. You know, at some point, you have to be responsible. We have to be responsible for the choices that we've made, the choices that we didn't make. You know, because an indecision is a choice, right? You know, I decided not to decide, you know, and choice is powerful. You are powerful. You can choose. And just because you made a choice that you ended up in a place that wasn't right, you can also make another choice to begin to move the trajectory of your life in a different direction and understand that, hey, you know, all failure is not final. It's not final. And if it involves sin, listen, you can repent. You can ask God to forgive you, and things can change. Things can get better. And listen, once God forgives you, it's good, you know. But then he also talks about how a financial sense can ease the burden. And there's a lot of things that we prepare young people for. He's talking to a younger self. I mean, he's in his late 50s, I believe, and he's talking to himself in his 20s. And we prepare our young people for a lot of things, but I don't know if we prepare our young people to have good economic sense. I don't think, you know, a lot of times people learn economy by trial and error, by getting into some debt, and they realize, well, that was a bad idea.
Yep.
You mean when they gave me that T-shirt for the credit card in college, 30%. What is that 30% interest? I had no idea.
That's right.
They gave me a T-shirt. You know, we don't teach people how to be, you know, economically sound. And so through trial and error and some pain, it's called wisdom, right? We learn to do things differently. But if we can begin to start teaching at a younger age our children and our young people economy. Economics,
yeah,
and how money works and what we can do with it. And it's just a tool not to love it, because the Bible instructs us that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But that money is if it's used properly, can be used to bless, I mean, so many people and do so many things for the kingdom. I think about the Green family, owners of Hobby Lobby. Reports are that their Bible artifact collection is worth over $800 million, and their whole Bible museum they're putting together in Washington, D.C. costs $400 million. These are the things that you can do with money, with your business and other things, but it has to be learned. We are going to go to a break. We have a break we're going to go to, And now when we get back, we're going to continue to talk about some of these other things that T.D. Jakes would tell a younger T.D. Jakes.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
Of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
I accept the honor which the American people have conferred upon me.
Today marks the birth of the 33rd President of the United States, Harry S. Truman. He never went to college, but was educated not only in history, but in a thorough knowledge of the Bible.
With the sudden death of President Franklin Roosevelt on April 12, 1945, a little-known vice president became president of the United States in what would be the final year of World War II.
On April 16, 1945, President Harry Truman addressed a joint session of Congress. Using words from 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, he said,
"As I have assumed my heavy duties, I humbly pray Almighty God, in the words of King Solomon, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?"
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about wisdom, wisdom that T.D. Jakes would share with a younger T.D. Jakes, some things he's learned. And the fourth one, Steve, is let go of some relationships. Now, this is pretty deep, right?
Yes.
Because he says there's
Very true.
People that you do lunch with, and then there's other people you do life with. And I think what he's trying to say is prioritize. This is a clue. You may not know this, but not everyone on your Facebook page is your friend, right? I mean,
what?
Yes, they're not all your friends.
Wow.
Yeah, you can check that out, man. But you do have some select friends, some people that you do life with. And that's so important because there's so many, you know, you have to start identifying that. When you're young, you think everyone is, you know, your friends, and you're like, yeah, I can hang out, I can do nothing. And, you know, a true friend is, I believe, one that's going to help you in achieving the things that you need to achieve towards, like, towards the Lord, your growth in God, right? I mean,
if, those that if, don't if, flatter you.
Yeah, if God is your number one priority in life, that's, you know, if he is, then a true friend to me is a friend that's going to help, you know, fan that flame and encourage you in the things of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we can't be friendly with other people. It can't be means that we can't have friends that don't know God. You know, by all means, how are people going to know God? But it just means, how do you spend life? You know, do you spend life or do you invest life? Do you spend time with people or do you invest time with people? Big difference. Because every time that we invest in the life of somebody else, that means we are expecting a return on our investment. And it's not for us, but we're expecting a return in their life. We want to be able to sow something in their life that begins to grow and encourages them. So I think that's important. Some relationships, you just got to let go and say, you know what, this is toxic. This is not helping you. This is not really helping me. And you need to find those relationships that are going to help encourage you. The last thing he says is let it all out in a laugh. And I think the point behind this is that life can can be very serious. You know, there are a lot of things that, go on in life, challenges, struggles, hardships. And sometimes you got to slow down. And like my dad used to tell me, you know, smell the roses, you know. And I think what he was trying to say is that don't take everything so serious. Learn to laugh, learn to enjoy, learn to take in the moment. Because, you know, life is about a bunch of these moments that pass. And before you know it, you're going to be, you know, getting older. And you're going to say, why didn't I stop? Or didn't I enjoy that season? And, and you can do that. You can absolutely do that.
We'll be right back.
Nobody even comes close to comparing to Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn by his resurrection of those from the dead. Who shall declare his generation? He is one with us, but he's definitely beyond us. He's great in his nature. His nature is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is divine. He's unique. He's equal with God. He's one with the Father. He filleth all things, yet is not contained by all things. All things were made by him, of him, and through him, and to him are all things. He is before all things. By him does all things exist. He is God. He is man. He's as truly God as if he were not man, yet completely and perfectly man as if he were not God. He's a perfect man with no stain, no spot, no original sin, no actual sin. He was the perfect, blameless, sinless Son of God. He stands alone, ladies and gentlemen.
What's the most common error made by parents in disciplining their children? I believe it's the inappropriate use of anger in attempting to manage boys and girls. Unfortunately, most adults rely primarily on their own irritation to make children cooperate. One teacher said on a national television program, "I like being a professional educator, but I hate the daily task of teaching. My children are so unruly that I have to stay mad at them all the time just to control the classroom." How utterly frustrating that would be, and how ineffective. Disciplinary action influences behavior. Anger does not. I'm convinced, in fact, that adult irritation actually creates disrespect in the minds of kids. They can see that our frustration is caused by our inability to control the situation. We represent justice to them, and yet we're on the verge of tears as we flail the air with our hands and shout empty threats and warnings. Now, I'm not recommending that parents and teachers conceal their legitimate emotions from their children. My point merely is that anger often becomes a tool used for the purpose of controlling children. It's ineffective, and it can be damaging to the relationship between generations. Instead, try taking a little corrective discipline that your children will care about, and then administer it with cool.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to go right to Eagle View's ministry as Paul Keith Davis is interviewing Prophet Bobby Connor as he's talking about what's about to happen. Because the question is, what's about to happen in America? What does the church have to look forward to? Let's go to Bobby Connor now.
I want you to just kind of take a minute here and based upon your revelations, based upon your visions, kind of forecast what the future is going to look like a little bit for this remnant and how you become a part of that.
Yeah. Okay. I think Jeremiah 31:17 says your future is filled with bright hope. Jeremiah 31:17, your future is filled with bright hope. I think between where we are and where we're going to end up is going to be one of the most turbulent times in human history. It says, don't you believe that? It says deep, dense darkness will be on the earth, but the Lord's glory and light and radiance will be on you. And so in the darkest of times is when we're going to shine the brightest. So I think it's going to be very turbulent. I think it's going to get really, really more militant than we ever dreamed it was going to be. But having done all to stand, stand. Now, this little mamby-pamby thing we call in Christianity right now won't cut it. It's more of like a divine entitlement. Well, you know, no. God is awakening the warriors. If you don't have a warring spirit, you won't be able to stand during these days. And the number one thing we're going to have to do is learn how to contend. You ought to read the book of Jude. It shouldn't take long, just one page. But we're in the book of Jude. Certain men have crept in unawares, teaching us it doesn't matter how you live. Live any way you want to. It does matter how you live. So I looked up the word contend. It means fight to the last drop of blood. Fight. We're going to have to fight for the faith. He said, when I return, will I find faith? We're going to have to contend for the faith once and once for all delivered to the saints.
I mean, you think about it. We've been talking about these times are coming, and this is a man who hears clearly from the Lord. And he's talking about turbulent times are coming. But you think about it. If you read the book of Acts, I mean, you're looking at Stephen was a man who did wonderful things. He fed folks. He took care of folks. He allowed the Lord to heal people through him, and just great signs and wonders were taking place through his ministry. But the consequence of that was he was persecuted and he was stoned. So it's like he saw the face of God, but it was in the midst of why he was being stoned. You look at Paul, and Paul was this apostle Paul that's going out and he's called by God. The first thing he was doing was coming to persecute the church. He was on the road to Damascus. I mean, you think about this. He's on the road to Damascus. He's going there with a letter from the high religious leader, and he's going to persecute the church. But on the way there, this persecutor met God. And that's when he said, Lord, Lord. He thought he was serving God, but he met God on the road to Damascus, and he realized the God that he was serving, his perception of God that he was serving was not the right God. And then he made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. And he was blinded. And he was in a particular place staying there. God spoke to another man named Ananias. And Ananias went to him. And this persecutor of the church, he prayed for him because God said, pray for him. And all this blinding left him, this stuff that was over his eyes. And he could see again. And he gave his life to serving the Lord. You know, difficult times are coming. But this is the great time for the church to rise up and do what we're called to do. And Paul is responsible for almost half of the writings of the New Testament as the Holy Spirit gave him the unction or the ability to be able to write that. Isn't that powerful? It's just so powerful. So people that seem to be an adversary today to the church could be a Paul tomorrow. That's very exciting. So these difficult times that are coming, it's time for the church to rise up.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.